More thrilling finishes in the Big Ten Conference last night. Will there be another tonight in Madison, Wisconsin, as the Iowa Hawkeyes and Wisconsin Badgers hook up in about 5 hours here? We'll discuss that, bring in John Cranton from Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas to get his views. Girls State basketball tournament play and a Bowling Night in America recap coming up. Welcome in on a Thursday, 3:04 in Southwest Cedar Rapids, coming to you live on 1600 AM presently, 107.5 the North Gym and 106.3 the South Gym, currently carrying Scott Unash's call of Iowa City, Regina, and Western Christian. Steve Dozier with the analysis in that game. We'll bring you up to date on the Girls State Tournament here shortly. Plenty to get to today. Mark Duke's here alongside Alex Kuhn. Typically our producer, Jeff Downing, going to hold that role today as Alex sits in for me, as Scott is on the road again. You've been on the road a bit too, Alex.
Yeah, I've racked up the mileage, and after the second trip back from Des Moines, I'm back here, but I'm going to head back over there tomorrow as well. So, third trip to Des Moines in 1 week.
This is your first time to call state tournament action.
It is.
And I'm sure you'll be involved in next week's boys coverage as well. What do you think?
It's been a blast. I didn't know what to expect going into it. And the first day when I ended, five of the six teams that I covered were teams that I had never seen before. I'd never seen Springville before. I'd never seen Burlington Notre Dame. And then the next game, I hadn't seen Logan Magnolia. And the final game, I hadn't seen Western Christian or North Lynn. So Regina was the only team of the first day that I had covered, but it turned out to be a really good time. And then yesterday was really fun as well, covering Iowa City and Iowa City West.
You've seen the Regina girls probably a half a dozen times this year. Right now, really struggling with a Western Christian team that is tall. Three or four starters, 6 foot and above, and Regina has trailed throughout in this game as we head for the end of it.
Regina's had an outstanding season, another undefeated regular season. They get the number one seed. As soon as I saw Western Christian against North Lynn, I said to myself, this is going to be a very, very difficult matchup for Iowa City Regina, just because of the size and athleticism. They're led by Ashton Verbeek, who's 6'2", and is committed to go to Nebraska, and she plays, not only can she post up and score at will.
Pretty nimble. Yeah.
She can also shoot, and she can move, and I knew that was going to be a very difficult test for Regina, but congratulations to Jeff Wallace's team on a great season.
It is a final now in the Class 2A semifinals. Number 4, Western Christian, has defeated Iowa City Regina, the number 1 ranked team in the class, 71-49. The Class 1A championship game is set. It'll be a rematch between Springville, a 61-43 victor over Kingsley Pearson. You heard Scott Unash's call earlier today on that game. Springville will oppose Turkey Valley tomorrow night in a rematch of the state championship game last season. Turkey Valley beating Elkhorn Kimbleton 48-46. More action this evening on KGYM, all three frequencies, 6:45. Scott Unash will call Center Point Urbana and Pocahontas area. Pocahontas features Ellie Ruffridge, the state's, look at this,
all-time leading scorer,
all-time leading assist, and all-time three-point field goal.
She's going to Missouri State, I think, to play her college.
Not very tall, 5'4", something like that, but that's going to be a heck of a matchup tonight. And then tomorrow, the 4A semifinals, back-to-back games, 10 a.m., Xavier and North Scott, 11:45, Marion and Pella. You're going to be on the call at 3:15?
I will.
Iowa City West trying to break that CIML dominance against West Des Moines Valley.
I don't know if you saw it, but Iowa City West last night lost their second leading scorer in Rachel Saunders to an apparent knee injury early in the game. Saunders, one of their best players, their best defenders. She's a Creighton commit. We'll see if she comes back for that semifinal matchup. You definitely could use her against a very, very good Valley team.
Big Ten women's basketball tournament underway today. Iowa off at 11 a.m. has been bounced from the Big Ten women's basketball tournament. 78-73 against Northwestern. The Hawkeyes down much of the second and third quarters, came back, actually took a lead, but could not extend their stay in the Big Ten women's basketball tournament. I should say right now it's a WNIT team.
Yes.
Yeah. Nearing the Big Ten men's basketball tournament, some very interesting developments last night. I was at the bowling alley, but a lot of eyes were peeled on Northwestern and Michigan.
At the bowling alley?
At the bowling alley. All TVs, almost all of them, were on the Northwestern-Michigan game. And it came down to a tie ball game late. And I believe we have Dave Ennett's call from WGN Radio on the last couple seconds of that game. Do we have that now, Alex?
1.7 to go in a tie game.
I guess he can't run it.
Taphorn heaves it down the floor.
Got it.
Part in the catch. Puts it up.
Yes!
Wildcats win! Wildcats win! Derek Parton at the buzzer for the win! And the Wildcats have beaten Michigan 67-65.
Are we going to get trampled?
They are all in a pile right in front of us. Unbelievable.
I think action on all alleys stopped at that moment. And if we didn't catch it, we wanted to see the replay. Northwestern has become the darling of college basketball, I think, if only because the Wildcats have never been to the NCAA tournament. And Collins has done a wonderful job, but it was in kind of a skid mode lately, and I think this one put them over the top.
Yeah, they're in right now. Yeah. I was worried about this team because I had said a couple of weeks ago that they were in, and this was after they beat Wisconsin. Regardless of what had happened after Wisconsin, I thought that they were in because I thought they would hold serve at home, but then they barely escape Rutgers. They lose at Illinois. They get smacked on the road against they lost to Indiana late in that game. They got beat pretty badly by Illinois. And then they had to win one of two at home against either Michigan or Purdue, and then it got close there against Michigan. But I think now, regardless of what happens against Purdue, as they will play Purdue at home to conclude the regular season, and then regardless of what happens in Washington, D.C., this is a Northwestern team that will make the NCAA tournament for the first time ever. It's something we have never seen before, which is a stat that, as many times as I hear it, it's still hard for me to believe.
A lot of things going on in the Chicagoland area. I mean, it started last October and November with the Cubs, and now Northwestern, of all teams, is going to make the NCAA tournament. That's great stuff if you're in the Chicagoland area. I mean, and then also in the state of Illinois last night, you had the Illini taking down Michigan State. I mean, here's two matchups: Northwestern, Michigan, Illinois, Michigan State. Most years, traditionally, the two Michigan schools are the favorites, the teams to watch. And then Illinois came up with another victory. I said 2 weeks ago, I think perhaps after Illinois' second victory over Iowa, that this is not a team you want to play in the Big Ten tournament. It gets very good guard play. It's got a couple very capable big guys, and right now they're on a roll. And I talked to a good friend of mine who lives in Champaign, is a season ticket holder, and I saw him at an event about a month ago, and he said, John Gross is gone. Gross is gone. And I texted him the other day, not after last night's game, but the other day, and he said, I'm really twisted. I mean, this guy probably has not gotten everything he can out of that Illinois team. They are in a big-time roll right now.
They are, and that was a team where you watched their ability to score the basketball, and you wondered why. Just over the last couple of years with Malcolm Hill and Maverick Morgan and guys that can really score the basketball and really play, and they just never had that intensity on the defensive end to be able to consistently win games in the Big Ten. And finally, now that it's amazing what happens when there's a threat of a coach getting fired kind of comes on. There's every once in a while you'll see a team get on a roll. And to your point, Mark.
Or they'll shut them out. It's either one way or another.
Or they'll completely, if they don't like the coach, they'll completely quit.
He'll lose the team.
He'll lose the team. But if he is a respected coach and the players like him and he's a player's coach, then sometimes it kind of lights a fire under a team, and that's what's happened with Illinois. And to your point, Mark, who in the Big Ten right now, I mean, I'm looking at 7 or 8 teams that could possibly win the Big Ten tournament. It just because of the way Wisconsin has been playing lately, Maryland has been playing. I think Purdue is the best team out of this conference, but I'm still not confident when it gets into a tournament style game with Purdue, because they've been known to lay an egg, and they're still not as consistent as they should be with one of the best players in the country in Caleb Swanigan.
Illinois now 8-9 in the Big Ten with a remaining game against Rutgers. Iowa is either going to join Michigan at 9-8 or Illinois at 8-9 after tonight's game against Wisconsin. The standings right now, Purdue 1 game up, 13-4, is locked up at least a tie for the Big Ten championship. Wisconsin 11-5, Maryland 11-6, Minnesota 10-6, Northwestern and Michigan State 10-7, and then you have Michigan, Iowa, and Illinois. And I looked at Jerry Palm's bracketology today, whether you like Palm or Lunardi, whoever it may be. I happen to look at Palm. In his bracket, Illinois is one of the last 4 in the tournament right now.
Wow.
In the tournament.
This bubble is so incredibly weak. And
large, I think.
And I think that Myron Medcalf, when he was joined the APC, brought up a good point. And it's because the non-traditional conferences, the mid-major conferences, aren't exactly setting the world on fire with a lot of big-time resumes. I know Wichita State and Illinois State are good out of the Missouri Valley, but you think years past in the Missouri Valley, especially in their heyday, they could get 3, sometimes 4 teams into the tournament, and nobody would bat an eyelash. You look at the Mountain West, and usually they're going 4, maybe 5 deep. That's not the case this year. So for the longest time, I'm looking at Joe Lunardi's bracketology and seeing a team like Clemson in there when they're 3-9 or 4-10 in the ACC, and a lot of people are screaming, why is this team in? Why is this team in? Well, who's going to replace them? Who deserves to be in there? I look at Gonzaga, and they're obvious out of the non Power 5 conferences, and then St. Mary's right there out of the West Coast Conference. I think those might be the 2 elite teams not in a power conference. You can maybe put Wichita State in that conversation, but other than that, there's just not a whole lot out there on the bubble.
Iowa, Wisconsin tonight. We're going to get the official numbers from John Cranton here coming up momentarily. But it looks like Wisconsin is about a 10-12 point favorite tonight. And the way Iowa's been playing, that seems like a lot of points. But Wisconsin is really tough at home, despite the fact I think the Badgers have lost, 4 out of their last 5, something like that?
They lost 4 out of their last 5, and one of those games was at home to Northwestern.
It's a similar situation that Iowa went into last weekend against Maryland, because Maryland was not necessarily playing that well. Purdue had just lost an hour earlier, and a chance for Maryland to move up in the standings. You know, big doings in College Park with the national championship team being honored. Now Wisconsin has to right the ship here as well, still with a chance to tie for the Big Ten title. Which way will the Badgers go?
Well, we'll find out. But I think that with Maryland, it's really all about it's about their youth. And I look at Wisconsin, and this should be a team that when they're led by Ethan Happ, when they're led by Bronson Koenig, 2 players that have been around, and Nigel Hayes, that have been around the block, have paid their dues in the Big Ten, have seen the ups and downs, this should be the team that is finishing strong out of any of them. Maryland, I understand the skid a little bit. They got a lot of young players, and they're going to be some peaks and valleys. Purdue, I think we always expect that from them, whether they're a young or a veteran team. Wisconsin, this should be a team, along with Michigan State and the Big Ten, that's traditionally closing strong. And it starts tonight with a home game against a very game Iowa team.
You think Iowa continues the momentum or not?
I don't. I said that I didn't think they would against Maryland either, though. So I will just point that out.
True enough. We're going to be joined by John Cranton here. Let's take a break. And when we come back, we'll get the Vegas perspective on tonight's game and others on the Gym Class.
At the gym, we know good sportsmanship matters during a game and in life.
And we want to recognize good sports, like you, with KGYM's Community MVP.
So if your nonprofit group is holding an event to help folks around here, let us know.
Just go to KGYMradio.com, click on Community MVP, and give us all the details.
Because you deserve most valuable player status for doing something great.
And we want to help you get the word out.
KGYM's Community MVP, brought to you by Fairfax State Savings Bank.
It's always more fun to be with friends as you cheer on your favorite team. Whether attending the game, watching at a bar, or hosting a party, it's very important to know that fans don't let fans drive drunk. Before choosing to drink, choose your team's MVP, a sober designated driver. Avoid the unsportsmanlike conduct of driving drunk by handing off your keys so that you, your passengers, and everyone on the road can be safe. Your team victory will only be worth celebrating if you and your friends make it home. This message is brought to you by the Iowa Department of Public Safety, the Governor's Traffic Safety Bureau, and your local law enforcement.
Hawkeyes, Cyclones, Panthers, and all the college teams in the area. If it's in the news, they'll be talking about it. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on the Gym Class, KGYM.
Welcome back. Approaching 3:20 Central Time on the Gym Class in the southwest side of Cedar Rapids. We are now coming to you on all three frequencies, 107.5 FM, the North Gym, 106.3, the South Gym, and 1600 AM. As Scott Unash has concluded this call from the Girls State Tournament of Iowa City, Regina's loss to Hull Western Christian. He'll be back on the air 6:30 tonight as the guys from the APC move aside, clearing the way for his call on all three frequencies, Center Point Urbana and Pocahontas area. Speaking of areas, there's none better than Las Vegas in my mind, and now we bring in John Cranton from the Valley. Hi, John.
I'm doing good, gentlemen. Are you sure Scott is not at the golf course today? He's at the basketball court. I wonder about what's going on.
You know, it's been nice here, John, but not quite as nice as it has been.
No time for the irons yet.
How's it out in Vegas?
That's why I was thinking golf. I look out the window, and it's sunny, and you know, it's springtime weather in the mid-60s, so it's on the way, people.
Perfect. Big game tonight in the Big Ten, as there were last night. Let's talk about Iowa at Wisconsin, and I think a lot of people in Iowa were scratching their heads after that superb performance at Maryland. Actually, probably Iowa's best week of the season last week. Do you think the Hawkeyes?
Yeah, right.
Go ahead.
Yeah, we talked about that game and how it was a bad situation for Iowa heading out on the road against a Maryland team that we thought would have a chip on their shoulders. And Iowa's done too. I mean, just what a terrific performance. That's two straight games now they scored 96 against Indiana as Jocka led the way, and then the game against Maryland was just, they were 7-point underdogs, scored 83 points, won convincingly. And what you can say about Iowa is it's a guy with one senior and a lot of young talent, but it's young talent that's getting better, and we've seen that this last week as well as all season, because it was Peter Jocka that stood up against Indiana with 35 points. But that last game, everybody contributed. Bohannon was electric with 24 points. And Cook had 21 points, 10 rebounds. I read the comments from an opposing coach about a month ago where he pointed to Cook and Penzel, and he said, you know, these are two young guys that the Hawkeyes have. They're keepers. They have tremendous upside. And we saw that with Cook against Maryland with 10 rebounds. So they're really playing well this last week. So can they do it again, heading out on the road to a top 25 Wisconsin team? Well, the Badgers are struggling right now. They've lost two in a row, 1-4 the last five games. Look at these last two games. They went to Ohio State as a 7-point favorite, gave up 83 points. That's not like them at all, as they lost the game. And then an up-and-coming young Michigan State team, they were still favored on the road, and again, they lost by 10, giving up 84 points per game. So here's a Badger team that is still number one defensively in the Big Ten points allowed. However, they were under 60 points until these last two games. Now they've creeped up to 62. It's still a dominant, strong defensive team, and they clearly want to get back to that coming home now. It's also a pretty balanced scoring on offense. When you look at the last game they played, it was actually a year ago, and the question I have for tonight's game is, who's going to control the pace? Iowa loves to run with their young legs and long-range shooting, and Wisconsin more of a slow-down defensive team despite the last two games. Well, when you look at that last meeting last year, Wisconsin won at then number 8 Iowa, and it was a defensive game, 67-59. The Hawkeyes just couldn't get the offense going. 32.7% shooting. They were 5 of 18 from long range. So that's the way I'm going to look at tonight's game. I think Wisconsin getting back to a slower pace and a strong defensive game. And that's kind of where the money's gone, too. Wisconsin's up to a 12.5-point favorite. But notice the total's gone way down from 146 to 142.5. So I'll follow the money. I think it's too big of a betting number, but I do think it's going to be more of a defensive game. I'll go with Whiskey 70 to 62. And keep in mind, the underdog is 8-2 against the Vegas number when these rivals meet.
John, we'll stay in the Big Ten. An early tip-off at Williams Arena in Minneapolis. The Minnesota Golden Gophers, a 7.5-point home favorite against a struggling Nebraska team.
Yeah, you're right. Minnesota opened 8. A little bit of money on Nebraska, 7.5 now. Total down to 139.5. And Nebraska has a winning record overall, but not lately. They've had a bad couple of months as soon as conference play started. 3-10 run. Ty Webster leads the offense, and they did get Ed Morrow, a nice sophomore forward back. He's a very good defensive player and their top rebounder, but still wins have been very difficult to come by. And now they're playing a Minnesota team that has a chip on its shoulder. This team won only 8 games a year ago as everything went wrong with injuries, and they're clearly bouncing back from that, pretty much reverse that record from a year ago. You got a Gopher team that's 16-3 at home this season, and now they've won 7 consecutive games. They're winning games, they're covering games. They went to Maryland a couple weeks ago, scored 89 points and got the win. And what we're seeing is everybody's kind of chipping in offensively. Jordan Murphy stepped up against Penn State the last game, 16 points, 16 rebounds. And in that Maryland game, it was McBrayer, the backcourt man, who chipped in 18 points. So it's really a well-rounded offense. And you can't ignore the great defense either. They have tops in the conference in field goal shooting defense allowed, just 39%. So it's a very difficult spot here for Nebraska in this one, the visitors. So I'm going to have to lean toward the home team here, which is playing so well. The home team is a perfect 7-0 against the Vegas number when these teams meet. So I'll go with Minnesota 70, Nebraska 60.
We don't talk much about Drake basketball on the show, John, maybe justifiably because the Bulldogs tied for last in the Missouri Valley, but it's tournament time, and it begins tonight for the Bulldogs against the Bradley team. They just faced one another last Saturday. Can Drake win a game or two here?
Yeah, you're right. It is a brand new turning the page for a new season here come tourney time, as a lot of teams do. Drake comes in, yeah, losing 9 straight games. They haven't been covering the Vegas numbers either, 2-7 against the spread. It's actually a decent offensive team behind Reed, Timmer, and McMurray, and Wampler. They're 4th in the Missouri Valley in scoring, and also tops in free throw shooting. However, it's the defense and rebounding that are major weaknesses. They're last in the conference in field goal shooting defense, over 46% shooting, and they just played this Drake team. And, you know, when you get to this time of the year, as in March, defense and rebounding are big keys when you're looking at matchups, even between teams that have played each other. And you have to give the edge to both those edges, really, to Bradley for this game. Bradley, a losing record overall as they meet here the Scott Trade Center. But Braves have won 3 in a row. They're playing pretty good ball. They only have 1 double-digit scorer, so it's not a dynamite offensive team. But they are pretty good defensively, number 4 in the Missouri Valley in field goal shooting defense. And the game that they just played that you mentioned last week, Bradley went on the road to Drake, won the game 82-74, and the rebounding numbers were absolutely whopping, 48-24 for Bradley, and they turned that into some free throw shooting, which was also electric, 27-29 from the line, and an offensive rebounds 20-11. So if Drake's going to pull the upset, they got to focus on boxing out and doing a much better job than they did the last time. However, when I look at defense and rebounding as keys this time of year, I'm going to have to lean toward Bradley in this one, maybe 75-68.
John, the red-hot Iowa State Cyclones, they're going to try to even up the season series against West Virginia tomorrow night, 6 p.m. tip-off. They have to in order to even up the season series, they're going to have to beat West Virginia on the road. What do you make of this matchup?
Boy, this is going to be a fun one on a Friday night. Iowa State just playing so well here, winning 6 consecutive games that included beating number 3 Kansas and then number 9 Baylor at home in a terrific game by 3 points, and they come off the win over Oklahoma State. The Vegas odds makers made that game Iowa State -3. That's exactly where it ended up. Matt Thomas was terrific with 25 points. And Monte Morris, boy, this guy just does it all. A near triple-double, 9 rebounds, 11 assists, and 12 points. It was a really nice test for a hot team that's even been great again when stepping up against top 10 competition. West Virginia, ranked in the top 15, they also played the same Baylor team that Iowa State just beat, and they lost 71-62. However, they're playing pretty good ball, 8-3 the last 11 games. You got a terrific backcourt, led by Carter, and a very difficult front court to face up. And it's a disrupting, attacking Mountaineer defense that can cause so many problems for opponents. In the Big 12, they're number two in scoring defense and in field goal shooting defense. And when these teams met 4 weeks ago, Iowa State had trouble with that as West Virginia won 85-72. It was a turnover fest, 16 turnovers the Cyclones had, and they only shot 29% in the second half, so they're certainly going to need a better showing than that and taking care of the ball. And it's a tough game to call because Iowa State's going to want to run. West Virginia wants to play that physical powerhouse defense. However, can you really go against an Iowa State team? It'd be Kansas, they beat Baylor. So I'm going to look for a very, very close game, a dogfight all the way. I'll go 74-73 final, but either team is capable of winning.
John Cranton of Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas joining us as he does every Thursday on the Gym Class, or most Thursdays, and we always value his opinions. John, that game you just talked about and Saturday's Kansas-Oklahoma State is going to determine those 2 through 4 seeds. So how much of Kansas already wrapped up the Big 12? How much of their heads are going to be in this game?
Well, that's the starting point, Mark, right there is, you know, Kansas, they've only lost 3 games all year, and one of them was the opener. So this team is 27-2. They just have it all with experience, with backcourt depth and talent led by Frank Mason. Plus, they can kill you up front with the rebounding. However, 13 consecutive Big 12 titles, so they really want to get up for this game as far as focus. And, you know, what if they're behind by 5 or 10 points in the second half? Is it a game where they just say, all right, let's just take this one off? That is very difficult to assess. When they're in the role of favorite, they're 4-11 against the spread. I'm not sure who's going to be favorite, but it's going to be a round pick 'em either way. And Kansas, when they come off a victory, 5-12 against the spread. So they're winning games, but not covering numbers. With that said, Oklahoma State, you know they're going to be sky high. The fans are going to be into this one. And the players are, and they're playing great right now. 10-2 run. They do come off the loss to Iowa State, but that was on the road against a terrific team that's hot. But this Cowboy team, boy, they love to run. You got so much backcourt talent with Evans at 40, and you had Carroll too. So this is the top scoring team in the Big 12. They love to shoot the three. You know they're going to be sky high. So the key is what you mentioned. Is Kansas really going to be into this one? But I do know the home team, Oklahoma State, will. So I'll have to lean toward the Cowboys continuing their hot run. Maybe a 5-point win, but a high-scoring game.
John, let's head to the NBA. The Golden State Warriors are going to play their first game without Kevin Durant, who's expected to be out for about 4 weeks with an MCL sprain. They get to head to the Madhouse on Madison to take on the hapless Bulls. What do you make of this one?
Well, hapless at times, but hey, 500 on the year plus 4-1 the last 5 games. Not as bad as some teams in the league.
I speak organizationally. Sorry.
Oh, I see. We're covering the entire thing, aren't we? here's Golden State in the role of favorite here again. 7.5-point favorite, actually up from 6 despite the Durant injury. So how important is Durant? Well, the Vegas money is saying, hey, this team is still pretty good, extremely good even without him. And it's tough to argue against that. Yeah, they're tops in the NBA in scoring, but, you know, they're also tops in field goal shooting defense. This is a terrific, dominant defensive team. And they went to 2 straight NBA finals, the last 2, without Kevin Durant. So it's not just the star power. They've got role players and team-oriented defense. That's why you see them in the role of favorite here. Chicago, nice 4-game winning streak, but, boy, it came to an end in something fashion, giving up 125 points to Denver on Tuesday, and that's kind of where I look at this game, because Chicago defense just erratic at times. They're number 25 in field goal shooting defense, and if you're going to defend Golden State, you got to watch about playing beyond the arc, and Chicago Bulls have struggled all year, number 22 at defending the three, and that's a concern with Steph Curry, because he has been ice cold these last 2 games, 2 of 20 from long range. I got to believe he's going to be looking at his chops saying, all right, this is the game that I bust out on it, so I really can't back Chicago in this spot the way they've been erratic at times, although they do play their best ball at home at 18-12. And keep in mind, the home team is 20-8 against the Vegas number when they have met, and Golden State just 4-9-1 against the spread here in Chicago. But still, this is a tough one to call. So I look for more of an offensive show with a total here of 218. I think it'd be a high-scoring game with Jimmy Butler and Steph Curry lighting it up.
With the conference tournaments in college basketball either underway or getting underway, John, does that mean more activity in the books?
Oh, you said that right. This month of March is just incredible for tourism, and all the books have numbers going. And the thing is, the games go, well, you know, they start in the morning sometimes and in the afternoon, and the game's going all day long. So there's a frenzy of activity and line movement. And it can make your head spin, but it's certainly a time to get excited and watch all of the numbers as they unfold. Nothing like March Madness in Vegas.
Well, John, always appreciate the insight. If you have a free play for us, love to have it. And then tell us what you have these days at Jim Feist Sports.
Sure, we'll go with the game in your court here. Iowa, Wisconsin, I'll look for a defensive game under 142.5. I will follow the money for tonight's game. If you're looking for a Pro Line, the TV show that Dave Koken and Jim Feist do, you can find that at jimfeist.com, as well as daily specials and top plays from the nation's handicappers, all at jimfeist.com.
Highly recommended. Thanks, John. Have a great weekend.
Thanks, guys. Enjoy the games.
John Cranton, Jim Feist Sports in Las Vegas, bringing it as he does almost every Thursday during the year. He's fun. I'd love to be in Vegas this time of year.
I've heard that the NCAA tournament is the best time to be in Vegas.
Yeah, yeah.
One of my cousins that used to go out there every year. His wife is a professional poker player, and he says that the Super Bowl, it's too crazy. For a championship fight, it's also too crazy. But for the Final Four, that is the best time to go to Las Vegas.
Well, no. You can sit there and watch all kinds of games. You can go to the window and get baseball odds, Masters odds. I mean, there's so much to chew on out there. And, of course, it's a great environment if you like that sort of thing.
Well, yeah. I've actually never been out there. But my cousin tells the story. He was there for the Final Four game between Duke and Kentucky, Christian Laettner shot. And standing in the MGM Grand area, people are watching the game. Half the room has Duke, half the room has Kentucky. And as soon as Laettner hits that shot, you can see half the room has Duke and half the room has Kentucky. So it's I can't even imagine a scene like that, but I've seen it in movies, never in person.
Well, Ryder's going to be in Vegas this weekend, his first trip out there. I don't know with all the activity around the wedding, whether he's going to have enough time to stop in a book. I know he's wondering if he should put any money in the Mets this year. I kind of discouraged him, but maybe we should pool some money and send some with him.
I'll give him my locks of the year, and he can play some bets for me if that's all right.
Let's think.
Is that okay,
it.
Tyler? No? Okay.
Let's take a break. When we come back, we're going to talk more about tonight's Iowa-Wisconsin game here on the Gym Class on KGYM.
Yeah, your toilet's definitely clogged, but I think I found the problem. Sir, is this your action figure?
Yes, I sent him in to check out the pipes.
As a small business owner, you've got enough to deal with. Let the experts at Progressive insure your business so you can focus on more important things. With over 30 commercial, auto, and business coverage options, we'll build a plan that's right for you.
I got something else. Are these toy cars?
Had to send in backup.
Visit ProgressiveCommercial.com to get started. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
AutoZone presents Bumps in the Road. Worn shocks and struts can turn simple bumps into a dangerous problem. And if your car nosedives when you stop, you might need new shocks or struts. Right now, when you buy 3 qualifying Gabriel shocks or struts, you'll get a 4th one free by mail-in rebate. So visit your local AutoZone. With over 5,000 locations, the right supplies and good advice are just around the corner. Let's get you what you need. See store for restrictions and details.
Get in the zone, AutoZone.
This is the sound of everyday engine threats like gunk, wear, and corrosion, unleashing their wrath on your engine. Now, this is the sound of Shell V-Power Nitro Plus Premium Gasoline, providing the best total engine protection you can get. Period. Think all premium fuels are the same? Think again. Choose Shell V-Power Nitro Plus today.
Howdy, folks. KFC's Colonel Sanders here. You have someone in your life you want to get KFC's new $10 chicken share with? It could be a friend, more than a friend, or even a spouse. It's okay. Be brave. Go ahead and say, I want to get a $10 chicken share from KFC and share a chicken with you. It's who you are. Don't be ashamed. Just head to a KFC and share 9 extra crispy tenders, 6 pieces of original recipe, a lot of popcorn nuggets, or 12 hot wings. And don't be afraid to be who you are. KFC, it's finger-licking good. Limited time offer. Participating KFCs. Prices may vary. Tax and substitutions extra. Hot wings not available at all locations.
Covering Eastern Iowa sports for more than 40 years combined. UNASH and Dukes. The gym class on KGYM.
Coon and Dukes, not so many. Not close to 40. But,
yeah.
Let's see. I got a 40, so I got you covered.
I've got two.
Got you covered.
Okay.
It's 40
okay.
years, whether it's UNASH and me or you and me.
So you guys just factored it in for one person. You didn't combine them?
Combine them, it'd be 80 years. I don't know.
That doesn't have as good of a ring to it.
No, it doesn't. Mark Dukes, Alex Kuhn with you today on the gym class. Scott UNASH has concluded calling two of the three games he will have today. Let's recap. Springville back in the championship game in 1A girls basketball. 61-43 victory this morning over Kingsley Pearson. The Orioles will face Turkey Valley once again in the championship game. Turkey Valley downing Elkhorn Kimbleton 48-46. Scott's most recent game that he called, a Western Christian 71-49 win over Iowa City Regina. Right now, Trainer and Cascade on the floor. And that'll be followed by the 3A semifinals, including a 6:45 tip between Center Point Urbana and Pocahontas area. Again, tomorrow, Xavier and Marion and Iowa City West all play with UNASH, and Alex Kuhn will be back in Des Moines as well.
Yeah, Iowa City West taking on Valley. I'll say this about Springville. If Springville plays a B-level game against Turkey Valley, they're going to be looking at back-to-back state championships. They're that good.
Kayla Nahausel with a bunch of points again today. She's terrific. I want to get to the Iowa-Wisconsin game tonight. If you missed it, the Iowa women were bounced from the Big Ten tournament today, 78-73 by Northwestern. A little bit of golf going on. Guys are in Mexico, Mexico City, at the WGC Mexico Championships. Among the 77 players in contention, this is a no-cut tournament, by the way, Zach Johnson of Cedar Rapids, somewhat of a rough opening. He was 3 over on his front nine, or on his first nine, which was the back nine. He has started on number one now, his 10th hole of the day, with a birdie. So Zach, plus 2 on the day, through 10 holes, the leader, Lee Westwood, at minus 5. One more piece of local information came out earlier today that, you know, this guy, Maurice Mo Blue, has been named the 6th head coach, head football coach at Cedar Rapids, Washington, and I should say well-deserved for him. He's been a loyal assistant for some 20 years, a Wash grad, a co-grad, and a really good football mind.
I will say this, Cedar Rapids, Washington is going to be playing with a nasty streak, because the way he coaches, the way that he is on the sideline, that is an intense football coach, and that's the way you have to play the game. And it's going to be fun to watch him kind of carry that legacy on of Wash having top notch football programs, because I don't think they're gonna skip a beat.
Worked for a long time under Paul James, who now is the Linmar head football coach, and I assume they meet this year. I haven't seen the schedules or whether they're out, but that would be a very interesting matchup, I think. Yeah,
you'd say so.
Okay, Iowa, Wisconsin tonight. We've got some interaction on the text line, and we've heard from John Cranton. Certainly want to hear from you as well. 0190, by the way, the Jerry Ask Investment Services text line, 319-366-1600. 0190. I think Bohannon's latest three-point barrage is going to make teams rethink how they guard Iowa. It's no longer a team that has to rely on just Jock. I'm guessing Wisconsin is going to put too much focus on Cook and Bohannon. Jock scores 25-plus, and Iowa wins by 7 or more.
It's so hard to predict with this team, because if they shoot like they do against Maryland, no one in the Big Ten is going to beat
them. You can't count on making 16 threes.
But they do that. You just can't do it. I don't care what team you are. I don't care if you're Kansas or Kentucky or Duke or one of the top-ranked teams in the country. You just can't rely on that. But that's what it's going to be like for this team, and that's what it has been like for them this year, where they'll have a game every once in a while where They make a bunch of threes. They did it against Iowa State. And when they do that, nobody's going to beat them. It's just the question is, they've shown that they can win on the road. How much momentum is that going to be for them, not only tonight, but moving forward into a neutral site court in Washington, D.C., if they get into the NIT, and then moving into next year. So I think that if they shoot like that, nobody can beat them. But that's gonna be few and far between. So we'll see.
In my mind, tonight and going forward, it's about Iowa's defense. When it plays a 2-3 zone, I think it has been effective. I think that half to three-quarter court press is very effective. Fran can run in 10, 12 players. And I think we've seen throughout this year, Jock has been pretty much a constant, but then Bohannon breaks out one game, then it's Tyler Cook. Even Ryan Kreener had a moment. Christian Williams had a game. And you go right, Nick Bear, you go right down the list. And I think what we found is something different every game. And whether that's because of the matchups or what have you, I'm not quite sure about that. But it's a team that, when it's playing well, it can be pretty versatile. But I think Iowa needs to match Wisconsin's defensive intensity tonight.
They do. And I think that the biggest glaring weakness for this team is just a lack of a rim protector, which is why they have to play zone so much. And people kind of joked about the Adam Woodbury factor of, oh, do they miss him now? I think, yes, for the moment, they do. Because he for all of the bickering that people did about Adam Woodbury, he was the kind of the quarterback of that 2-3 zone. He stood at the he stood at the rim. He was able to get in the way and didn't contested shots at the rim. And that the importance of a player like that can't be overstated, which is why he played as many minutes as he did throughout his 4 years. So it's interesting now to see how they've kind of tried to adjust to not having that.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people were talking, well, they don't have a post defender. They don't have, well, yeah, that's true. But it's
they had one last year and nobody liked him.
Exactly. It's a team effort.
They didn't appreciate what he did.
It's a team effort, and there are going to be lapses defensively with this young team, especially, and we talk about Tyler Cook. Tyler Cook is a supremely talented and gifted offensive basketball player, still trying to find his way defensively. I think Cordell Pemsel is almost there. He still is filling his way out as well. And then you look at the young guards, they are as well. So it's really a team effort trying to figure out the defensive end of the basketball court.
Last couple games in Wisconsin, Nathan Happ has gotten into foul trouble, has not scored like he typically has. Bronson Koenig's shot has been a bit off. And now I read this morning that Nigel Hayes, who's been at Wisconsin like, what, 8 years, something like that, he sat out practice yesterday. Now, whether that was precautionary or what, but if he's limited at all, that's going to have an impact on this game as well.
What I keep throughout his 4 year career, I kept waiting for Nigel Hayes to take that.
It's an 8 year career.
His 15 year career at Wisconsin. I kept waiting for him to take that next step, and he's always been a good player. He's never. At least offensively, he's having a down year offensively. I don't think there's any question about that. Maybe that has to do with injury. I think the good thing about the Big Ten this year, and I guess it's a blessing and a curse for the Hawkeyes, you go on the road and you think that you can win against anybody after what you did to Maryland, but at the same time, they've struggled on the road, and they're trying to find their way this year against a down Big Ten, and they've been able to pick up some wins. I like the optimism about the seven-point victory for the Hawkeyes. We'll see.
Here's another interesting sidelight tonight. What kind of reception will Jordan Bohannon get in an arena in which his brother excelled? Jason.
Will they know who he is? Oh, obviously they will. But you think he's going to get booed?
I'm just saying it's a sidelight to this. How will Jordan Bohannon react to going into the arena where his brother was maybe not beloved, but very much appreciated. He had a very good career there. And I don't think Jordan shunned Wisconsin for Iowa, but I think it might just be a little sidelight to watch.
If there's anything we've noticed about Jordan Bohannon this year, is it really doesn't seem, none of the outside factors seem to matter to him. He, as Fran talks about, he just, the moment doesn't seem too big for him. He has amnesia. He just doesn't, he has the mentality that it takes to be a winning basketball player and not let things rattle him. So I expect more of the same from him.
I talked to a friend of mine who's neighbors with the Bohannons and asked him this week, I say, hey, dude, did you teach Bohannon how to shoot? He said, no, but I'm going to tell you this. If he would have decided to play football or and or baseball at Linmar, he would have been among the best, if not the best, in those sports as well. Had terrific hands catching the football and could play baseball as well. So,
I think he picked the right sport.
Yeah, this is the guy who was concentrated on one sport, but that tells you what maybe what kind of athlete he is as well. 62-10 on the text line. Jordan will show him who the greatest Bohannon is going to be.
I want to throw this side note in here. I heard a lot of people coming into the year, there were a lot of questions as to what kind of player Jordan was going to be at the Big Ten level. Why did you have those questions, Mark?
Well, even the friend of mine who I just referred to had questions about how effective he would be. I mean, he's doing things that only he and the ball kid at UCLA
has
done.
But I'm not going to say that I expected him to break records in his freshman year or be as good as he has been, but I don't know. Maybe after the second Bohannon kid was a very, very good player at UNI, and the first one was a very good player at Wisconsin. You think, okay, well, history is going to tell me that Jordan is going to be okay too. Mm-hmm. I heard the chatter that, well, maybe he's never going to develop into a starter. Okay, come on now. And like I said, I think hindsight's 20/20, but I just didn't understand that kind of chatter.
Let's get to a break. We need to fit in a Bowling Night in America recap, and any other comments about tonight's Iowa-Wisconsin game we'll entertain right here on the Gym Class.
The best place to buy a Ford in eastern Iowa
is Marion.
That's Cal Fall. The Marion Used Car Superstore has more used Fords than anybody in eastern Iowa.
Nearly 200 used Fords to choose from.
And during the Tax Time Special Purchase Sale event, a great used car buy.
2015 Ford Fusions from $12,999. You can buy with only $189 down, $189 a month.
With nearly 2,000 pre-owned vehicles, something for everyone.
Budget buys under $6,000 and always guaranteed credit approval.
Making it easy at the Marion Used Car Superstore, and you're going to love this.
2015 Ford Fusion starting from $12,999 or buy Fusion $189 down, $189 a month.
And with guaranteed credit approval,
everyone can buy. Shop over 2,000 vehicles, and yes, we have 200 used Fords.
The Marion Used Car Superstore, 7th Avenue and Blair's Ferry Road, across from Thomas Park.
Online, McGrathAuto.com, click specials.
May City Bowl is always a good time, Dukes.
Even when we're not bowling so great, Scott.
Well, May City Bowl does it right. A full-service pro shop for serious bowlers.
And fun for everyone, like Glow Bowling Friday and Saturday nights.
Our team, the Rusty Nails, is in the Mature League, but they have leagues for every age and skill.
And you can call ahead for open lane times.
So whether you're leaguers or just want to have fun, it's always a great time at May City Bowl, off Williams Boulevard, Southwest in Cedar Rapids, the official sponsor of Bowling Night in America on the Gym.
They go to the ballpark to watch the game. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the Gym Class, KGYM.
Last few minutes on the Gym Class, Mark Dukes and Alex Kuhn bringing you today's show. Scott Unash, of course, in Des Moines, calling Girls State Tournament basketball. He'll be back on the air tonight at 6:30 for Center Point Urbana and Pocahontas area. Yes, text line, I recall as well, Zach Bohannon playing at Wisconsin as well, after transferring from Air Force. Thank you very much. 62-30 points out Jordan has been on the Kohl Center 100 times. He will go off tonight and play well. All right, we'll see. The Rusty Nails did not go off last night, I can tell you that.
Oh, no.
One team that did was Capriati's, our opponent. They put up the highest series in the Mature Evergreen League. last night. 36-99 and whooped us. Whooped us. At least the guys from Capriati's could have brought sandwiches to the slaughter, okay?
That would have been
nice. They didn't do that.
They didn't bring a capistrami as...
No, okay. No, not one of those Thanksgiving sandwiches.
Oh, those
no.
are amazing.
They are amazing. But yeah, you'll have that. We ran into a juggernaut last night, and it was headed by the Walt brothers, Nathan and Trevor. And I had a little fun with them after bowling. They both had 700s. Trevor with a 193 average, do the math. Okay, that's averaging under 600 pins for a series. He put 723 on us, and I said, Trevor, you know that your average is going to go up, right? And he said, and Nathan, his brother, turns to me and said, well, he's been sandbagging for 3 weeks, just waiting for you guys. Well, thanks a lot. Nathan apparently knows a little about sandbagging as well, 729, but... Yeah, we got whooped last night and pushed back to 7th place in the Evergreen League, but still pretty bunched at the top. Capriati's again coming up with the big series of the year this season in the Evergreen League. 6-700s last night. Logan Langer, 269-758 to lead the way. Our friend Wayne Selkin right behind at 731. 6-700s again last night in the league. And if you have questions or comments or... want to hold a party, bowling party, get pizza party out there at May City, give them a call, 362-0136. Find Pro Shop out there as well. Mr. Dirk's handling that. You can go to the website as well, maycitybowlcr.com. Again, Summer League is going to be starting here in a couple months, and if you have any inquiries about that, get a hold of them out there.
26-23. Sorry, 25-23. My vision is bad. It says it's National Cold Cut Day.
Today?
Did you know this, Mark? Yes.
I did not.
Wow. You know, I usually don't partake.
It was National Cold Cut Day last night.
I usually don't
partake. Sliced and diced us.
I think I'm going to have to stop by a sandwich shop and get
one. That's a good idea.
Absolutely.
Preferably one of our sponsors.
Yeah, yeah, of course. Do they have them at Emil's Hideaway?
Oh, yeah, they got all kinds of great food out there. Get your poll question up later. But, again, tonight's programming, the APC out at 6:30 to make way for Girls State Tournament Basketball, CPU, and Pocahontas area. Scott Unash and Alex Kuhn will be in Des Moines tomorrow. Scott doing the Xavier-North Scott game at 10 o'clock, and followed by the Marion Pella game at 11:45. 5A semifinals, 1:30 Indianola and Cedar Falls. Not on the airwaves here. 3:15, Alex Kuhn will be on the call for West Des Moines Valley and Iowa City West.
I will. And joining the APC this from 4 to 6:30 p.m. today, Evan Flood of 24/7 Sports will preview the Wisconsin and Iowa matchup. And Brent Bloom of CycloneFanatic.com will join the show as well. Also, a little bit of a programming note, I'm sure the APC will pass on about tomorrow's show as well. So, because of high school basketball, we're having to shuffle things around. I'll be in Des Moines tomorrow. Todd Brommelkamp will be joining you, Mark, on the gym class.
He will. I always enjoy you sitting in as well as Todd or Tyler. It doesn't matter to me. It's all great fun, and it's been a whirlwind this week at KGYM between... trips to and from Des Moines by you and Scott and filling in on certain programs. Jeff Downing, our producer, thanks for your help today. I know David Schulte's been in here working as well. Who'd I miss? I don't know. But it's been you need a team effort this time of year. There's no question.
You do, and you didn't miss anybody. So great job, Mark.
Pretty good on my part, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Well, I appreciate John Cranton and Alex Kuhn sitting in today for Scott Unash. More to come tomorrow in the gym class with myself and Todd Brommelkamp. Thanks for listening.
Big Mo Quezon here. The new Smokehouse Pizza from Little Caesars is certified smokeified. 8-hour smoked brisket, certified beefified. 10-hour smoked pulled pork, certified hogified. Applewood smoked bacon, certified baconfied. And the Smokehouse seasoned crust and tangy barbecue sauce, certified smokeified. And what's better than 3 smoked meats on 1 pizza? This certifiable price. The new Smokehouse Pizza from Little Caesars is only $9.
Pizza, pizza.
At participating locations plus tax.
Welcome to Metro PCS.
Hi, I heard you're giving free phones to everybody?
Yes, right now, everybody gets a free phone. You and your friends, cousins, neighbors, roommates.
What if I'm already with Metro PCS?
Yeah, it's for existing customers, new customers, people named Willie, dog lovers.
That's awesome.
Everyone gets a free phone at Metro PCS. Come choose your select.